Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ringside Wrap, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. This is where Rich Tate, Les Thatcher, and Mike Sempervivi bring you the latest news and information on pro wrestling and MMA, as well as interviews with legends of yesterday and stars of today. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Ringside Wrap with your hosts, Rich Tate, Les Thatcher, and Mike Sempervivi.
All right, welcome to another edition of Ringside Wrap. Rich Tate, Mike Sempervivi, and Les Thatcher here tonight. No natural disasters, and everybody seems to be on time, so we're doing well. Although I was about to have to call up Mr. Sempervivi and beat the crap out of him. But anyway, guys,
a little bit tardy.
How interesting is it that 1 week ago the top three names that we talked about at the top of the show are really kind of sort of the same three top names this week, Nick Diaz and the Hardy Boys.
Can I, before we get into that, I'd like to cover something real serious and then we can get on with it. I got an email from Doc Young this morning, and he is in Indianapolis Medical IU, and he has, now I'm not sure I'll pronounce this properly, Guillain, G-U-L-L-A-I-N, Barr syndrome, which is where your body starts to attack its own immune system. And he is unable to eat. He's fed by tube. He can't talk, you know, can't move his jaw muscles. And his heart did shut down last week, which is, I've read up on the internet a little bit about this, and which is one of the symptoms. And it may be several months before this will all be cleared up, but it's pretty damn serious. And so I just like everybody. Doc is a hell of a guy, and he's a guy who got me started in internet radio to begin with years ago. And so I just like everybody to, you know, keep him in their thoughts and prayers, and hope he comes out of this okay.
Yeah, love you, Doc. And it's Guillain-Barré syndrome. A lady I worked with actually had a attack of it and was hospitalized for a while with it. And she obviously wasn't in the – she luckily was not in the same condition Doc is. Doc's obviously had a lot of medical issues as it's been anyway, which made this on top of it even worse. But, thoughts and prayers with Doc, and get better soon, man.
Absolutely. I don't know if I doubt seriously he gets a chance to listen to anything while he's in the hospital, right?
You know, I don't know if he, like with the show we do on Saturdays, Vic Sosa is sitting in, and he and Will and I are going to continue on with it. And Doc had said, of course, it's up to you guys. But I'll tell you, I was frightened the last time he and I had a conversation. You know, he was on his back. And the last thing he said to me was, you know, we're always going to be pals. And it just, that just hit me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like kind of cryptic. And of course, so I mean, at one point he sent me an email and said he wasn't sure that he, you know, if he was going to make it or not. So, but you know,
yeah,
his health has been really bad the last 3 years. And so this is just a culmination of it all. And it's just, if this is, you know, God, I hope this is the worst it gets, and you know, whatever, a couple months or whatever it takes, you know, that he's back on his feet and going again.
Right. You know, I ask, I question whether or not he can hear us, but or the show you guys do over there on Saturdays. But you know, I'm guessing he probably can if he's doing emails. And I did actually had forgotten that he had put a post up on Facebook last night that I responded to as well. So
he did?
At least he's got internet. So yeah. So let's hope if he is listening, let's send out our best wishes to him, Doc. We're pulling for you, definitely. So anyway, Nick Diaz, as soon as we go off the air last week, is inserted back into the fight. As we discussed, Jeff Hardy, I guess, you know, that went down how it went down, and I guess now he's back and he's on the weekend house shows. and coming up this weekend. And then Matt Hardy, well, I guess the rebirth has kind of been aborted.
Yeah, he's what was tagged with a driving while impaired or something again.
Yep. Apparently Monday at, in an airport. Now, of course, that's I guess airport police from what I was reading. But you know, I guess that's probably just as serious as anywhere else. But crazy stuff. So let me ask you this, Mike. Nick Diaz, what gives? Or I'm sorry, Nate. We're talking Nate here, aren't we?
Well, no Nick.
No, yeah.
Nick Diaz, yes, who obviously we talked about last week with his issues of bailing out on the press conferences and the flights to the press conferences, which ended up leading to him being taken out of the huge title fight against George St. Pierre at 170 pounds. Carlos Condit was inserted into it. I think I said it here last week. I thought it was a reactionary move, and I know there should not be double standards in this world, but there are double standards in this world, especially on canvas mats. I mean, guys can, again, I'm not saying that you have to condone what Nick Diaz did. I thought the UFC, though, was quite reactionary in doing what they did, especially because they didn't fire him. And I think that ended up being the case because they end up putting him in the fight, into another fight on the same card against BJ Penn in what is going to be, again, it's not going to have the same interest level they would have against GSP, but it would still have a ton of interest. So obviously they still wanted to do something there, and just as it stands right now, he has not signed the contract to do the fight. And if you listen to, you know, Dave and Brian, they've hammered him, and again, maybe I'm too skewed by boxing and wrestling and the NFL with guys like Lawrence Taylor. I think you treat it with kid gloves. He's a special treatment kind of guy, but, you know, I think it would be worth it. Now, he doesn't sign the contract, And, again, then they have him in breach of contract, or at least they can try to set him up in another fight as long as they have him under contract. But, you know, until that time comes, I'm not going to hammer Nick Diaz, you know, too much for this, because, again, if the UFC is going to be that upset, then fire him or release him from his contract, and they haven't done that yet. So, again, you know, I'm not condoning Nick Diaz, but at the same time, I'm not. I don't think they should have taken him out of the fight in the first place. You know, then they put him back on the card, and now, you know, I guess people are complaining that he hasn't signed the contract. I mean, you know, hey, and they announced a fight without his name on the dotted line. Again, you know, whose fault would that be? I mean, you have a verbal commitment, but if he's that much of a loose cannon until it's in pen, why did you announce it? So, I don't know. I think this is, you know, it's good drama building. I do, again, still see Nick Diaz in the UFC. But I don't know. I guess I'm not really too overly surprised by this.
And of course, I guess when it comes to Matt Hardy, kind of like last week, I'm with you guys. I'm about Hardy'd out. But you know, God, get some help.
Well, I tell you, Rich, it's a bigger issue to me because, you know, I guess he came out with his claim, got a 0.0, you know, on the breathalyzer. And again, obviously don't know anything until his blood comes back, but this is like Kurt Angle. This is like a lot of guys. I mean, it's 2011. You know, it's not like people don't know that guys drive around on painkillers and on tons of medication. And again, not saying that's what happened to Kurt Angle and Matt Hardy until it comes back, but there seems to be a pattern for this where it's real easy. I mean, I don't know who anyone is fooling anymore by saying something like that, with the way prescription pills are in this country and the abuse of them.
And Les, let me ask you, at this point, Jeff Hardy back with TNA, is this pretty much his last chance at the major level?
You know what? I don't know if there is such a thing in our business, honestly. You know, everybody just keeps bouncing back. But, you know, I'd hope. $100,000, I don't care. $100,000, $100,000, and he's got to be in rehab, you know, and he's just got a few days in jail, which is, I mean, you know, I don't wish him any ill will or any worse than that, but I'm assuming this rehab thing is going to be drug testing on a pretty regular basis. So he's, I don't see that he has any choice, you know, but to keep his act together. You know, the little speech he gave, you know, about, you know, I don't deserve another, you know, I can't, you know, all I can do is ask and this and that. And I've made a lot of people in the back mad at me. And, you know, and it's honestly, it's, you know, it's a statement of fact. But, I, you know, for me, if it were my own son, I wouldn't turn him away from my door, but I wouldn't put him in my business, you know, to give him a chance to screw something up again. And with those, you know, with that whole situation down there, you know, they're not publicly held, so, you know, and but I just, I can't imagine the mindset of how the Carters run that company. I honestly cannot. But I would think Jeff's either, you know, going to score, and what I mean score is, you know, come up negative on the test, you know, on his test from now on, or, yeah, I would think he's probably, you know, hit the wall. This is do or die at this point.
I wanted to ask. In terms of TNA, I know Les didn't spend any money on the pay-per-view this past weekend, but Mike, did you happen to see it?
No, I couldn't. I hadn't really been watching the last month, and you know, the little bit I saw, again, I frankly just didn't want to separate myself from the $30 or $29.99 or whatever it is. I just didn't want to separate myself from that. I should be going to the UFC show in New Orleans this coming weekend. It was just like, yeah, I don't want to pay for this. And, you know, they had that, you know, the goofy tournament going on and all. I had no reason to buy it, and I didn't buy it. And I know it's been said on this show, it's been said a lot on the Figure Four. It's like, you know, unless it's a week that I have to watch it or something's going to happen, I'm not watching it. I was one of the first ones beating the drum for TNA back in 2002 of you know, how much to give this a shot. And I stuck with them, and I turned the, you know, God gave you four cheeks, and I turned all four of them, and they were slapped repeatedly. So I just, you know, it finally gotten to the point after that last reset, and just, you know, prove it to me. You know, it's like, and I'm not the only one who says that. Their own, you know, their own people, you know, viewing say that. I mean, a million viewers every week, and you can't get them to buy your pay-per-views. You can't get them to come to shows. You can't get them emotionally invested. You know, they know what they're doing wrong. I actually take it back. I guess they don't. But, you know, they keep the same people there, and it's hard, again, unless I have to cover it, I can't justify watching it.
I think from talking to several people that actually did watch it and a couple that reviewed it, I think what pretty well covers the value of it was the fact that three matches all ended with blinding angles. It was almost a run-in in every match, but two of these things were thrown in people's face to blind them momentarily, where two of these matches were back-to-back.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know if you call it laziness, sloppiness, lack of creative input. But I mean, my point here is, you know, in the real world of professional wrestling, if you're going to beat Mike with a chair shot tonight in the main event, then first thing I'm going to say in dressing room, if I'm the booker or head of creative or whatever the hell my title is I don't want to see anybody else swing a chair tonight. You know, one to a show is plenty, because that means it's going to stand out. But three blindings in the same show just seems so absurd. I mean, did anybody pay any attention to this? Does the right hand even have a clue what the left hand's doing? It doesn't seem like it, does it?
Yeah, it almost seems like they've got a different writer for each match, and nobody's talking to anybody, and they just, you know, run their crap out there. And you know, the thing is, tomorrow night too, it's, my God, you know, how difficult is this this Ric Flair Sting thing gonna be? You know, I nothing but ugliness.
Yeah, it's, well, I did hear just earlier.
Although the curiosity is going to get the best of me, and I will be watching that. just for
you know what? My DVR is set to do that show every week, and I haven't watched a complete show in a month. I mean, I'll look at little bits and pieces, or I'll hear somebody do a post-show wrap-up, and I'll, you know, go see out of curiosity sometimes. But I did hear that the whole Hogan-Sting thing is kind of being put on the shelf now, that it may end up being a tag match that they're going to be in with a third celebrity involved, and I'm thinking, God, it's just – but you know –
keep in mind celebrity and TNA standards. Okay.
Scott Baio,
bad enough
baby.
You bring in an ace. Yeah, absolutely. That's what they need. Chachi will put them over the top.
Yeah. Well, you know, my question would be about, you know, a lot of people talking about Raw. To me, Raw was kind of bad light comedy. I mean, it wasn't horrible, but it was just kind of there. And did they do this on purpose because they realized football, what was going to happen with football on Monday night? And of course, football smoked them in terms of numbers. They did a 2.7 something or other, and I watched the surgeon Tom Brady at work, which was wow, yeah, really. But
thank God I got Wes Walker on my fantasy team.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, not to get too far off track here, if the Falcons play any more games like they did this past week, I'll join your Redskins bandwagon there, Les.
Thank you. Well, I was surprised what Grossman did for the Reds. I mean, he played a hell of a football game. I heard like Howie Long and some of those guys picking the Redskins over the Giants, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, I mean, they've got more confidence in my team than I do. But then after watching the game, I thought, well, you know, I mean, I don't know how long. I mean, the Bengals beat the Browns, too. I mean, it wasn't necessarily pretty, but they won. The Colts, I don't know if they showed up in Houston or not. But, you know, the thing with Raw that it's just like, are they banking on one shot with a microphone at the end of the 2 hours to get anybody to spend $50? Because, I mean, it was just – From start to finish, there was just here again. I'm about crossing your T's and dotting your I's and about details. And the first big thing that jumped off the page at me was how many. I said this to somebody earlier today. How many interviews do you think Bret Hart has done to mainstream media in the country in Canada, where he has stated implicitly that he will never wrestle again, that he cannot wrestle again due to health issues. And yet hey, Bret's going to be in a match. Well, you know, I mean, here again, whether you're a casual fan, you know, or diehard like the three of us or whatever, I mean, already, why even tempt fate? Because what percentage of people watching on television or in that building knew that you were full of shit to begin with?
Right,
that he couldn't wrestle. Then you've got a champion who the people aren't terribly into in terms of hating him or you know thinking he's a real badass. And the first thing he does is shoves the ring announcer out to get his take his heat. I mean, you had three matches that were virtually no. I mean, when I said comedy light early, bad comedy light. Well, this tag match, you knew who was going to lose the damn thing, and then. On top of that, Del Rio runs up the ramp. So again, it's not like this. He is legit.
And let me throw this in here about that segment as well, about that whole scenario. You talk about details, and it's all about continuity and whatnot, and that's what you know the great George Scott was all about, and Ole Anderson and Bill Watts and those guys, Eddie Graham. What was with you know John Laurinaitis has been playing the bad guy. In the back, and all of a sudden he comes out and puts Alberto Del Rio in a bad spot. You know, he's like making sure he puts the heel in.
Well, you know what? Are you sure from top to bottom who the hell is who anyway? Is there anything that's really clearly defined? I mean, you know, in terms of your major players, is Punk a babyface or a heel? Is Triple H a babyface or a heel? We know Cena's the laughing, you know, the laughing man. He's taking Bill DeMont's play. Everything's funny, and he's back to doing silly jokes. With Laurinaitis, I think the key there, which wasn't necessarily stressed, was he said on behalf of Triple H. Now, whether we find out that, well, it never came to light that he actually did, you know, Triple H had nothing to do with it, although he's obviously, we've been led to believe he's gone behind Triple H's back in the past, well, at least to sign Nash, you know. But I think if you can let him off the hook, that would, you know, that would probably be it. But this did nothing to get Del Rio over. I mean, nothing whatsoever to put heat on him. I mean, he needs to kick somebody's ass to you know, the strongest heel on that show right now, as far as I'm concerned, is Mark Henry, because Mark doesn't think anything's funny, you know. And then the whole Vicky Guerrero Kelly thing was just horrendous.
Yeah,
I mean, just horrible.
You know, you talk about Mark Henry. I love the way they are getting him over now as the monster heel. Back when Mike and I first started the first concept of Ringside Rap, I remember, you know, talking to you about how I wasn't even a Mark Henry fan anymore. I was just done with him. I really love the way they're pushing him again, and not over the top in the sense of the phrase that we know it, but to the top. You know, it's like just the monster aspect is great the way they're doing this.
Well, you know, go ahead, Mike.
I was saying, well, and thank God. I mean, obviously, from all, you know, indications, Mark Henry, a drug-free guy, a nice guy, a polite guy, a guy who's been completely embarrassed in a lot of ways, from most ways, his entire professional career there, sexual chocolate, just everything, every possible little thing. And, you know, they kind of did this the last time around with him on SmackDown, where he was ripped, I think it was with the Big Show, and then, you know, that kind of went nowhere, and then, you know, redoing it again here. I mean, yeah, everything kind of works, and I'm, again, exactly less it. Nothing's funny. He just goes out there. He's got a song that says somebody's going to get their ass kicked. It's a droning song. It fits him and him lumbering, not lumbering, you know, Mark Henry himself out to the ring and rolling down and just going and whipping ass. And that's all anybody ever really wanted to see from Mark Henry anyway. Nobody's looked at Mark Henry and thought, man, I can't wait to see him chain wrestle. No, Mark Henry goes out and kills people. And Mark Henry still, after whatever it is now, 12, 13 years, whatever it's been, is still a big-ass, strong guy who can whip your ass. And that's why, again, some things are timeless. And again, I don't know where they go with this. I don't know, you know, after he, I would assume, loses to Orton, I don't know where they would go with him from here. Hopefully it's something just as good, but a badass, whoop-ass Mark Henry is a good thing. And, again, it's one of the best things on those broadcasts. Christian's a wuss. You know, we've seen Sheamus be a wuss. The Miz is a wuss. R-Truth's insane. Punk is whiny. Cena's funny. Alberto is, they're trying, but there's something missing still with most fans. But at least Mark Henry is delivering what's advertised. You know, Mark,
they're making Ron Killings into a clown, a dumbass, which
yeah.
I don't know how that's going to, you know, and there's something I discussed actually with Mike Johnson. I said, there was a sign, well, you know, should Kofi been defeated by Miz and or what should have happened? Should the other two partners run in? I said all the above things are standard ish. Basically, you know, they're the standard package tier in your cable's viewing. I said, here's my question: why did they have to wrestle at all? I mean, here again, why? First of all, Kofi and Bourne, if you're going to get anybody behind them, don't need to be losing to begin with. And here's a spoiler: Bourne's going to lose Friday night to Ron, to Truth. But the point is, why did they have to wrestle at all? Why did the champions have to wrestle? We've never really seen Miz and Truth as a hot heel team. Why not give them a couple baby faces to go out there, let them do some actual teamwork, let the announcers get that over, and then let people actually guess what might happen if you want them to pay for it? The same thing with Orton and Rhodes, you know, Cody. Hey, it's, you know, they're, it's champion versus champion here on Super Raw. Well, you know what, guys? Just four days ago, it was champion, the same two champion versus champion on Super SmackDown.
Yeah.
If it's worth a return, why are you keep giving it away? Do I, you know, the thing I derive most from Henning's kid and Jennifer Hudson's poor husband is that no matter how great a baseball Derek Jeter plays for the Yankees, he'll never make the Hall of Fame because he doesn't have charisma. I mean, they spent more time with that friggin' word on Monday night, which basically, you know, that your in-ring means nothing. But the other point is, your 60-year-old announcer, and before I go any further with that, I respect everything Jerry Lawler's done in the business. He was a money machine in Memphis. There's no two ways about it. He's a hell of a worker. But he is an announcer and he's 60 years old, and he's beaten the same team with two different partners 2 weeks in a row. So if these guys, you've demeaned them by telling them they don't have charisma, you beat them with two guys who collectively haven't won a handful of matches, and now you beat them with a 60-year-old announcer, is that going to make them better? Is that going to get somebody over? I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever to me. It's just, you know, it's filling time, and I'm saying, okay, you're going, you know, are you just doing this because you know football is going to going to outdraw you tonight, or do you really believe that your product is so strong that I'm going to spend $50 because Punk hit Hunter with a microphone in the last 30 seconds of the show? You know, I saw, too, where for the next pay-per-view, unless it's a misprint, Edge is back. Now, I don't expect him to wrestle because of the neck. But what does this tell you? We're bringing Rock back. We're bringing Austin back. We're bringing Lawler's in the ring. Does it tell you we have no faith in the young guys?
Yeah.
Well, and that's, you know, where the direction I could see them going, that I could fathom them going of a – older school versus newer school type thing at WrestleMania, but it doesn't take away from them. And they did this, it's their fault, and this is what drives me nuts. And again, I don't know every hand that's in the mix there, but it's okay, let's just say Triple H and Vince McMahon, who knows wrestling, and you know this is an issue, yet you don't fix it. And at some point, you can't keep bringing back, look, Bret Hart can't wrestle. You know, Steve Austin's probably got one more in him, but that's pretty much it. You know, the Rock doesn't need it. He's basically, you could say, doing it out of the kindness of his own heart because he flat out doesn't need to do it. Edge can't do it and doesn't want to do it. And at some point, you're not going to be able to keep trotting these guys and bringing them back. Undertaker's got a handful left in him, even with all the rest he's gotten. And that's it. You cannot keep bringing these guys back. Triple H keeps coming back, as he'll be one of the only ones left. That's not going to mean anything either. Christ, he hasn't made this one mean enough. It just,
well, you know, with you two guys being a serious fan, the other thing is the stipulation in the Triple H Punk match is that, and you know what, when I hear the voiceover guy for WWE or for USA Network saying this, it seems even more hokey than it really is. Will Triple H still be the COO of Raw next week? We'll have to see. You know, of course he will. It's just the stipulation. And now, the only way he's not going to win and muddle the waters and nobody, you know, is going by kissing your sister is outside interference. Maybe, you know, Nash and X-Pac show up or something and him and Punk, you know, turn on both of them and beat them off and shake hands and go, I don't, you know, but I mean, the point is, of course he's going to be COO. It's not even a question that needs to be asked for anybody that's, you know, that's in the, that understands the business. Of course he's going to be, you know, it's just, I mean, you, It's like saying Bret Hart's going to be in a match. Wait a minute, I just heard on Toronto radio, and then I saw him on Montreal TV, and I've read this in the Canadian magazine, Canadian News Today magazine, or you know, how many times has he said he cannot wrestle ever again? And yet you're telling us he's going to have a match. Again, why? Hey, Brett, being a ring announcer, and the whole thing of the ring announcer doing push-ups, if you're going to bring the guy out there, you want to show him at least as possible. You don't want to go backstage, watch him, and he's drinking an aphrodisiac, and, I mean, come on. You're making it hokier than it is to begin with, And on SmackDown, Teddy Long, who I love to death, is going to have another heart attack from having sex with that hot chick, but he just did that with Crystal. Right? I mean,
yes.
It's like, do you people ever catch, it's like, why? Why does it have to be funny? I mean, I just don't understand. I mean, you can watch NCIS or NCSI or whatever, with Mark Harmon, and it's a hell of a drama show. And they... the exchanges, the quick, witty exchanges between him and his people, they keep it to a bare minimum, and yet you still don't lose the storyline, Or if they want to see real comedy, they should turn on Modern Family, because that is actually funny. But most of this stuff is just stupid. I mean, it's not clever. One of the things about, somebody said, well, Mark Henry's got a catchphrase, the Hall of Pain. Yeah. But you know what? He doesn't scream it out. He doesn't have to say it before every other, it's not like awesome or little Jimmy or, it becomes absurd and stupid after a while, all that stuff. I mean, it's just, and if I never hear the WWE Nation again, I'll survive. Can't you call them the fans? The WWE Universe. Okay, some PR guy is saying, you got to keep saying that. Why? If you haven't figured out what the hell show we're watching by this point in time, you're never going to.
Am I the only one of us three who, just recently, the last couple of weeks at least, when CM Punk comes out and gets on the mic, I don't know, as good as I think he is, as much as I enjoy his work, especially this last week, I don't know, I was cringing. I was cringing when him and Triple H were doing their verbal sparring, because, it was like if they went 10 minutes, the first 8 minutes was repeating four different ways the first 2 minutes,
Yeah, they've said it last week and a week before, and...
Yeah, and it was like, my God, this is going to wear thin if this is the best we can do at this point.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rich.
Maybe there's too much of Punk on the mic, and maybe it should be. It's almost like at some point you're just reaching. He's got great things to say. He says them great, but the problem is if he's got 2 good minutes this week, don't give him 10. Same thing with Triple H. He wasn't coming back any better with his responses. It's just, I don't know, the last couple of weeks I was just kind of cringing, like, man, you're going to lose these people.
If you give him 10 minutes of the scripted shit that you want him to say, and then let him talk for the other 8, because it's, in a way, I'm happy for CM Punk in this way. I did not think when he left Ring of Honor and went to WWE, even though I had all the, I wanted it to go well, I didn't think it was going to go well. And if it wasn't for getting lucky with Heyman and some other stuff, he ended up, and again, I don't know why you would not want to feature somebody like him in a lot of aspects of a lot of different things in that company. They didn't do it. And I didn't feel good about it. So now, it's like, good. In a way, he's going to make more money than he's made because of pay-per-view bonuses and stuff like that. And he's in a far better spot than he ever was before. So depending on what happens here, you can't take that away from him. With that said, he's now become a WWE character. So they have these hokey exchanges. One of the things about the mic going dead, they did that in the ring on him, and then they noticed they had something, and they did it on the stage that week, and it felt real. Now all of this stuff just is bad TV. It's bad acting, and I don't want to say bad acting because they're doing a good job in a lot of ways with shitty material. And again, you can blame, you know, the 9 million soap opera writers and all that sort of stuff. And just again, it's bad acting. It's not wrestling. It's not comedy. It's not drama. It's not. It's nothing. And that's the problem. It's nothing. It's this vacuum in their own little WWE universe. That's not. It's not anything that it's supposed to be. It doesn't want to be anything that it actually is. And now we've got a homogenized CM Punk, who is still going to have good matches. Who is still going to deliver material and get cheered. But it's not the same. They had a chance to, with that little spark, and they let the spark go out because they have a formula, and they wanted it to be the way that they have it. And
well, you know,
it just isn't real.
Talk about exposure. You can die from overexposure. And I think that, I mean, this whole debate, you know, and that's the other thing, too. There's a time, 15 years ago or whatever it was, when Vince and Stone Cold would have their in-ring debate confrontations. Well, Steve would usually end up, you know, giving Vince a stunner or something anyway. But the point is, here again, if you go back and watch Monday Night, how many opponents – there are future opponents of one another, stood nose-to-nose in that ring and debated. Does anybody ever hit anybody? I mean, here's the time when you go back and do what you stopped doing, you know, which this is old school. Well, now it's time to, you know, it's like fashions, clothing fashions and that sort of thing. They it all comes around. Keep your wide lapels for your jackets because they're going to come back, or the your bell-bottoms or whatever, but I mean, here's the time where that's become so, who cares? You know, if you're, at some point, some guy kicks the side of your car in the parking lot, are you going to stand there and debate with him for 15 or 20 minutes? I mean, him calling you names and you calling him names nose to nose without somebody taking a poke or shoving or something, for Christ's sake. Now's the time to say, hey, I've got so-and-so with me here, and on pay-per-view this next Sunday night, he meets, and in another studio, we have, so you know, with so-and-so. Why are we keeping, I mean, the reason we're keeping apart is because, you know, it's so volatile. You can make things mean something without everybody doing something. It goes back to the Kofi and Miz wrestling. Why? You know, you need to get the heel team over as a team. You've kind of established your baby faces, and they're the champions. So, and why do you give? Why is it necessary to, you know? And I can't tell you how many people have said to me, "Well, you know, it's where the challenger has to be the champion." We've been doing that for 50 years, but we didn't do it every week.
Right.
You know.
Let me get your thoughts too on the whole the Punk Triple H segment. You know, Phil Brooks, Paul Levesque. What are your thoughts on that when they actually break the fourth wall and do the real names?
Jesus, I'll just say this. Stop it. They don't have the effing names. Don't be CM Punk and Triple H. Be Paul Levesque and CM Punk or Phil Brooks. Just, if you know, it because, again, this is one. It's lost its luster. They've beat it to death. Everyone's done it a zillion times. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything, especially when you're delivering material like that. Now, it could mean something if Magnum TA and Tully Blanchard were, you know, back in 85 doing I Quit. Yeah, if you built it up like that and had people believing and thinking of that these two really wanted to kill each other, fine, throw out their real names as an extra shock. But it doesn't mean anything the way they've done it, so... just don't do it. It's stupid. To me, it's coming across hokey and goofy.
You mean Magnum wasn't his real name? Is that what you're telling me?
Maybe not, but you know what? The mustache was real.
you know what? Here's the deal. Well, Tully Blanchard
just
is Tully's
like,
real
just
name.
Like
but,
back in,
but you know what?
Like
the point is here.
Go ahead.
The point is here, if the angle's hot, if the feud's hot, then nobody gives a damn if it's John Smith and Bill Jones. I mean,
right.
What you're saying is not relevant anyway. I mean, in any way, shape, or form, you know, and I'm sure there's some people that didn't, I mean, they heard what they said but didn't understand the significance of it. You know, if you're on the message boards on the internet, or if you read the sheets, or, you know, if you're in some way, shape, or form, know that, you know, Paul Levesque is actually married to, you know, Stephanie McMahon, and on and on and on, then you caught it. But how many people there really didn't catch it and maybe are still scratching their head? I mean, they didn't go home and lose sleep because they didn't understand it. It was just a time filler, you know. But it's like the whole thing by Punk bringing the bodybuilder issue up is also pointing to himself and saying, hey, I'm not in that great of shape if you get right down to it. You know, you don't have to be tall. You know, you can still look, have some muscle definition. And, you know, then Triple H said, naming four guys in the last 10,000 years. I mean, yes, they do use bodybuilder types. And you know what? I'm not adverse to that. Not because I'm a former bodybuilder or because I've trained bodybuilders. But, you know, our business is an image business. It is about imagery. You know, but then, again, you're pointing your finger at yourself to a certain degree here in this situation too. But the other point is, again, unless you're sort of an insider or really study the business, most of those people don't have a clue. Some 12-year-old kid that just started watching wrestling 3 months ago don't know what the hell you're talking about anyway.
Well, and then they hate those fans, the ones that would know the names and would shout them out and be a goofball at shows, and they don't like internet fans and smarter fans and all that sort of stuff. So don't bring up stuff like that where maybe somebody goes on the internet and looks it up and then sees a bunch of other stuff like, man, how many thoughts of related deaths have there been? How many enlarged hearts have there been? Maybe that's what CM Punk was talking about.
Well, but with how can Punk be the rebel with a cause when Hunter nullifies so much of that anyway? Well, you don't think I respect you? Look at the T-shirt you're wearing. Listen to the music that's being played. This and this and this and this. And again, after these two guys have gone at it at such a way, like I said last week, it's like listen to two politicians. I'm probably not going to vote for either one of them. They both have made valid points, but nobody has just won me over 100%. And I don't know that microphone shot didn't put more steam on Punk as a heel and make Triple H, you know, because seriously, if you're just listening, Triple H has some valid points. And I'm sure that a percentage of the fans who supported Punk from the time he was up on the ramp and they shut his microphone off are now saying, give it up. You know, you're just whining. You know, it's just you're crying, and this guy's telling you that they've given you this. You've got a new contract, whether for real it's more money or not, I don't know. But, I mean, here again, it's a show. You can say whatever the hell you want. Hey, we gave you a big contract with more money and a bigger percentage. We gave you your own T-shirt. We had to clear the music you want. And he wants to say, where's my ice cream bar? What?
We're only going to be going an hour tonight, and there's a couple more things I wanted to hit. Les, with Strikeforce in your neck of the woods, I doubt seriously you went, but you had the opportunity. Why didn't you go?
Well, first of all, I don't spend that kind of money. Second of all, you want to know the truth? Until I was on the Observer site and read about where it was at, there was very I personally – on local news, now don't get me wrong, I don't catch every 6 o'clock news with every sportscaster or the 11 o'clock, but I do read the local newspaper. I didn't even know it was here until just a few days before. There was not a lot of advertising.
Well, Mike, I'm pretty sure you got a chance to see it. Obviously, title change, and we got the finals of the Grand Prix set, right?
Well, don't feel bad at all, even in the least, because most people missed the show. I think I forget what the crowd
was. Well, I
was
just going to ask you, Mike. Do you know what attendance was? Do you have any idea?
I'm going to try to look it up here before we go off. I swear, and I'm not lying to you, I want to say something like 2,700 at the at at
And that's a building that, you know, it's a 10,000 plus building, and they apparently only had like 2,800. Apparently during the preliminaries on Facebook, I mean, it looked even more pathetic, and there were far less people in there. The TV rating was awful. It's one of the lowest, in fact, maybe the second lowest rated show that they've done for what was an interesting card with some interesting names, but, you know, another nail in the coffin of Strikeforce and Mighty Mo, who fought on the show, Muhammad Lawal, former college NCAA champion, knocked out Hodger Gracie, giving him his first loss. And Hodger's arguably the best, you know, at his size, one of the best ground guys in the world, but, you know, it was a battle of styles, and Lawal knocked him out and then went out afterwards and said, you know, I thought Strikeforce was a cancer patient. Now it's feeling more like a AIDS patient. I'm just waiting on this thing to die. And that's, I mean, saying it openly, then the rating comes out, and then, you know, the attendance, Strikeforce is not long. Not long at all for Strikeforce, it doesn't seem like. And, you know, the card was good.
Let me ask you a question, Mike. Let me interrupt just a moment to ask one question. Why did they, do you have any idea why they decided on holding that card in Cincinnati?
Well, you know, UFC has run Columbus.
They've run Cincinnati,
time.
Too. They ran
that's
here,
right,
too,
they did,
because
yeah.
of Rich Franklin.
Rich Franklin, that's absolutely right. And you know, they've gotten good attendance there. Ohio is, again, you know, it's always funny. Where the depressed areas are sometimes, there always seems to be great fighters and great fight fans. And, you know, Ohio for boxing and MMA now, I mean, people have flocked to it, and they just seemed like a good idea. You can't hold all your shows in San Jose. You can't hold them all in Texas, but, you know, they held it there, and Barnett won, beating Sergey Haratamov. That's really no surprise. Daniel Cormier wins, but ends up breaking his hand in his fight against Bigfoot Silva. So now, I mean, Cormier was a fill-in for Alistair Overeem, who ended up pulling out of the tournament and then signing a brand-new contract with the UFC. I mean, they void his Strikeforce contract, and he turns around and signs with the UFC. I mean, you know, again, another bullet into Strikeforce, because he's not the only guy to do that. Dan Henderson looks like he will. Nick Diaz has. There's been some other guys. So it just... It's a dying operation, and the UFC, and again, it probably makes more sense. I would love to have a second promotion. I didn't have a problem with the XFL. I didn't have a problem with the USFL. You know, I just, having offshoot promotions and having two promotions, even though they're owned by the same company, you know, I could wrap my brain around that, you know. But I'm probably better off for the UFC that they don't do that, and sooner or later, you know, after all these contracts run out, after the Showtime contract runs out and the whole nine yards, there will not be a Strikeforce. And, you know, judging by the attendance and the TV, you know, everybody already thinks that anyway.
Well, too, I guess a story on MMA Junkie today said also that I guess Dan Henderson's hoping to fight for both Strikeforce and UFC. What are your thoughts on that?
Well... Why? I guess he could, but I don't know. I don't. If you're the UFC, why really? Well, why would you have him go do that? He just knocked out Fedor. Just have him come over. Just have him come over. And I don't know if he's still got a belt or not. Actually, he doesn't have a belt because he got beat by. Oh God, who did he get beat by? Jake Shields, who's actually fighting this weekend. And then Jake Shields left Strikeforce and went to the UFC because, much like TNA, something that TNA would do, he was working without a contract. He was on the last fight of his contract without a rollover, so he ends up winning the title, drops it in the dirt, and then goes to a UFC show, which, if I'm not mistaken, may have actually been in Cincinnati. Now that I think about that, I think it was a fight night event. So I don't see it being a idea that's got any legs or makes any sense. I think they will just figure out a way to avoid that Strikeforce deal, and depending on how many fights he's still got on it, and you're going to see him sign in the UFC. It's somebody that they actively, I think, want in the UFC because of his history, and it's a long, long, long history with Dan Henderson in the UFC. I think they're just satisfied. They'll be satisfied with that.
and the $25 million budgeted.
I'm sorry, Rich. Especially because of that rating and the attendance, especially because of that too. Why, if you can get money out of Dan Henderson and there's fights you can make with Dan Henderson in the UFC, and you own both companies, why do you want to risk him something happening to him on a show that arguably no one's going to see?
Speaking of nobody seeing something, $25 million went into the making of Warrior, and it only pulled in 5.6 on the opening weekend. A movie like this, do you see it? Do you see it turning a profit? I mean, in the opening weekend, you got to think the hardcore MMA fans are going to be going to see that, and then after that, it's pretty much going to start thinning out, isn't it?
I don't know. Nobody went and saw movies that weekend, and I'm terrible with movies, so it takes me forever to watch new ones, and I still watch, you know, Dog Day Afternoon and Network and Godfather, so I don't know if that says about me. You know, I'm probably the wrong guy to talk, but, you know, it just... I don't think it's that big of a deal because people, again, they stream movies, they wait till they come out on DVD. There's such a quick turnaround time anymore from out of the theater to in there. I heard Dave Meltzer talking about it, like going to the premiere, and there were people like, God, how violent it is. I think that's a little overdramatic, and because I have a feeling that the people there that were going to that premiere probably weren't their target audience. You know what I mean? These are like the people that get up and walk out of Saw and are offended. It's like, well, what the hell do you think going into that type of slasher flick? So I think it's probably going to linger in theaters. I don't know if it makes the money back there, but I wouldn't be too concerned because of the amount of, you know, press it got. Once it goes on DVD, once it goes in the Redbox, I think they're probably going to make that money back and do it, you know, more... you know, hold more of its own, you know, internationally as well. But it was a craptastic weekend, apparently, of movies, and there were some really crappy ones that came out, so I think people just avoided it like the plague. And again, you're coming out at a time, too. Probably should have came out before school, because I think it's an R-rated movie and everything, but, you know, you've seen a million and one 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old kids in R-rated movies. So, you know, it probably should have came out before school went back in, too.
Speaking of premieres, Hogan's Micro Wrestling premieres tonight at 10 o'clock.
I'm all over it, man.
I think I'm going to get a DVR and Hour of C-SPAN. But, you know, I'm going to have DVR and Hour of C-SPAN 3 instead.
What are the odds it's more entertaining than Impact? Let me ask this. Did you guys, real quick, did you guys see the documentary a couple weeks back, 3 weeks back or so? We were off that week, but what was it? The Slam thing, where it was Ring of Honor and National Wrestling Superstars, the Nat Geo, National Geographic Channel.
Yeah,
did you guys see that?
Yes, I did. And a young man who wants to start an indie promotion here had asked me if I'd watched it. I said yes, and I said if you derived anything from it, don't do what they're doing. Don't book those kind of matches. Not the Ring of Honor part, but the other one.
Right.
The Nigerian nightmares against a 130-pound guy who's mad because he's not on top. And
but that was so realistic.
Oh yeah, there's more. You know, there's more of those out there than the quality ones.
Yep.
You know, you're right. It's realistic. It's interesting to watch. Sadly enough, it doesn't do anything to help draw money for independents. So, I mean, if you've never seen an independent show and you watch that, you probably will never see an independent show.
Yeah, I really felt like for what they were trying to do there, I don't think an hour was enough. But at the same time, it's like, what exactly were you trying to do here?
Yeah,
because as much as I enjoyed it, I don't think the casual fan is actually going to sit through 60 minutes of that. I see them turning off, you know, 15 minutes in. I didn't check any ratings on it, but I can't imagine there was enough of a pull there. If I wasn't into wrestling, I probably wouldn't have stuck around past the first commercial break.
Yeah.
All right, guys, do you got coming up this week?
Me, nothing. I'm just between eye operations. That's all.
How's that going for you?
It's good. They finished the glaucoma surgery this past Thursday. They did the left eye. And as far as I can tell you right now, everything's fine. There's no pain. There's, you know, no inflammation or anything. I go in next Wednesday for the post-op checkup with them, with the glaucoma surgeon. And then the following Monday, the 26th, they measure me for the cataracts. The 28th, I have to go to my family physician because the cataract surgeon has to have a physical within a 30-day window before them doing that surgery. And then the cataract surgery is done on the first and second Wednesdays of October, the 5th and the 12th. And then hopefully from that point, I'll be done with doctors and surgeons for a while, hopefully.
Very good. All right. And, of course, you still got the Saturday thing going. You doing a Mike Johnson?
Yeah, we actually recorded today. It should be up on the site tomorrow. And like I say, we're going to carry, you know, Doc's we're going to carry the Doc Young Wrestling Weekly Show, and that's what we're going to start. I told the other guys that's what I want to call it. It's Doc Young Wrestling Weekly Show because it is. And you know, Will Strauss and I from the original group will be there, and then Vic Socha, who is a real nice guy, who just actually hooked up with us and is filling in for Doc, and he'll be joining us as well. So we're going to continue that on until Doc comes back himself.
All right, and since Les is dropping the ball, I'll pick it back up for him. Let's see, lesthatcher.com, epwt.com. Book this man. He knows what he's doing. Mike, what do you got coming up?
Well, I have a computer that crashed today, so the audio quality of tomorrow's Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare ought to be, well, pretty awful, but we're going to be doing it anyway over the phone. Going to be talking about a bunch of matches that I've seen from Japan, and obviously hockey getting close. We'll talk about that. I'm sure I'll bring up my gambling escapades from this past weekend because I took the Washington Redskins +2.5. I like that team. Especially against a banged-up Giants team. I really cannot believe the lack of respect that Washington got. And Les, this ought to make you happy. London Fletcher didn't even need to say it. All the young guys, instead of taking the Monday off that Shanahan said they could have because they won and were so impressive on Monday or on Sunday, all of those guys, you know, this is amazing. When you don't have Fred Smoot and you don't have Albert Haynesworth and you don't have even though I love him, Quentin Portis, look, D'Angelo Hall's not talking. There are a bunch of guys with no prima donnas who are playing like a team, and they got a lot to build on, and you should be really happy about that.
I am. Yeah, Grossman was on, pardon the interruption, I think it was last night, was talking about that, you know, where the guys went in on Monday when they could have had the day off. Yeah, well, there should be no distractions, and if the owner will stay out of the way. Snyder will stay out of the way. Maybe things will be good.
And, of course, we got the Eagles coming to the Georgia Dome for the first time with Vic as a starter, so that ought to be a hell of a lot of fun. Mike, I'll be blowing up your phone with text, I'm sure.
I tell you what, it's not going to be a whole lot of fun because they've got a bunch of Philly fans around by me, and I am not feeling good about that game coming off Atlanta's performance on last Sunday.
Yeah, I don't think they could have beat the University of Georgia last week. Boom.
Whew.
I had to get that one out there. All right, let's see. There will be no Peach State Pandemonium tomorrow night. Mike Norris ran away and joined the circus, so he'll be busy tomorrow night. But we're going to get him back, and they'll be back next week. And if you missed it, go back to the archives, dig that up from last week, Don Fargo. That was awesome stuff. That's going to do it here for us tonight. We will be back next week. And, of course, as always, stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. We'll see you.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, the latest news on pro wrestling and MMA, and more. GWH thanks you for your support.